and then that's it. That's all your energy. Goes there, drops. So, although there's always that mystery of who's really listening. So, but still, I'd like to see it go out wider, and I'd like to really look at other people on stories, because just for instance, I talked to Julie Saboteur, who's also doing some free speech radio news production last night, and she was doing some stories on the biscuit, and I told her a key piece, because of the research that I'd done, that she didn't even know. And she'd been doing stories for free speech radio news on it, and I said, it's too irritating to work with them, I'm not going to bother. So, you know, it's just, if we can be collaborating more, how much more thorough where I would be, I think that, and how much perhaps we can blow the cover on what are really big stories that just seem like come out as little pieces of stories and nobody, nobody ever gets the big view of how what's really going on.
Okay. Sorry.
My name is Amy.
Amy, sorry. Just kidding. So just for those of you who came in, I thought we'd just start by going around the room and talking a little bit about what everybody wants to get out of this discussion, maybe why they're here at the Northwest Community Radio Network Conference, and what their vision or what their hopes for collaborative production sharing would be. So let's kind of go around the room and introduce ourselves.
I'm Tom Killoran. I believe content is king, and at the left end of the dial is more collaborative content development. I'm very interested in that. I want to work at KSER, and I'm here to learn.
Where is KSER?
Edward.
Okay.
Right.
My name is Patty, and I'm a volunteer at KBCS. And honestly, I'm Walker, who is one of the guys that I met over there, and he told me that anything that Bruce worked for is magic.
A little bit later on, I'll be getting fired.
Can
I take a look at it? So I think that probably is.
So I'm just hoping that.
My name is Jeff. I'm new to community radio. I did a little camera work for community TV, and I took a class at KBCS just on a whim, and kind of here on a whim too. This looked more interesting than the youth class. Okay. I'm too old for that. I came here. It seemed like it kicked off. I don't know how much to offer, but. Real interesting idea.
My name is Kay. I work for Free Radio Olympia and Olympia Indie Media. And I think that improving the quality and consistency of programming would be very beneficial to our station. And that could be achieved by collaborating with stations, especially who have more production experience. And building credibility for content produced by our station. Obviously, not all of it is suitable for licensed radio play, but there is a lot of good stuff that's been coming out in Olympia. And be able to contribute more widely with our content.
This is the Why Are You Here question. I'm Adrienne Lobby. I am part of the steering committee for Free Speech Radio News. I'm here. Lee was one of our founders, and Bruce and Lee are my favorite people, among many people. Many of my favorite people. So I really wanted to be here, but I might have something to contribute about what hasn't worked with FSR as well as what has.
My name is Magnus, and I'm from CJSF Radio in Vancouver, and I'm also with the National Cancer Community Radio Association, which is a Canadian community radio association. And I came to this workshop because I think collaborative production has such huge potential, but it's really is challenging to do. I mean, I don't know how, you know, for years, I'm sure everybody's got the experience, you know, people have talked quite excitedly mm-hmm. about the possibilities, but I think it's really hard to really pull it off. And I think a lot of tools are starting to become available to make that more possible.
Mm-hmm. And what are you interested in sort of figuring out how that might be possible for your stations?
Yeah. And just general, I mean, just like other people have said, you know, there's lots of good stuff being produced at our station. At the same time, there's lots of, you know, it would be nice to be able to draw more upon the work of others, and that way people can create really good shows mm-hmm. without necessarily feeling that. You know, they can create a really intense, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of the half-hour show and then fill it up with really intense other bits from other stations and have this, you know, really strong show as opposed to...
Yeah.
I think everybody experienced the fact that producing public affairs or spoken word programming really labor-intensive and really hard to sustain on a volunteer basis. And I think one of the ways to get around that is being able to share the work of all the volunteers, not only at our stations, but at so many other stations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm Steve Ramsey, and I was told to go to any workshop that Bruce... I'm here to find out what the possibilities are for for creating content like Tom said. I mean, I totally sitting through all what I've sat through so far. I mean, the end result of what we're all here to do is interesting stuff that comes out of the radio, and that's my motivation is to figure out how my station can nurture and support that sort of approach, and to work more closely with other people who have different communities that that our community needs to know more about. So, and it seems like there's been a lot of work. I know FSRN has done some stuff. When Bruce was at my station, we did we set up a lot of internal systemic things that have been really great. But how we can, as a developing network, figure out how everybody can have that same sort of entry into how we do things. That's what I'm mainly interested in, so that you sort of eliminate the barriers of how to do stuff,
mm-hmm.
so that you end up doing stuff,
mm-hmm.
that results in good radio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Lee Robartis. I'm the manager of Radio Free Moscow at Low Power FM, KRFP in Moscow, Idaho. And I'm interested in seeing if there's any consensus or agreement on what can be shared as far as already produced programming, and also whether we can do a collaborative production. And what stations would be willing to broadcast from the collaborative production, what they would have room for. I know Radio Free Moscow has got lots of room on the schedule and probably is ready for anything and also willing to help as far as volunteering goes, but also a lot of stations have their own idea of what production standards and how much airtime they have available. So. I guess it would be a good idea to sort of hash out as much as we can of those topics.
Mm-hmm. I'd write some of that down on the board. And I'm just standing up and talking next because...
why don't you use the flip chart back? Because what they've been doing is taking those flip charts and sharing them down to the other place with everybody.
So do you want to facilitate this discussion in terms of
I'm happy to be at your disposal. So okay. If I start getting in the way, you've clearly been doing a lot of thinking about what should happen out here.
I just want to write down what I've heard so far. I took some notes here. And I think the interested in sharing content was the number one. Number one thing I heard, and that included using others' content and having others use ours, yours. That kind of summarized.
Well, I also heard people. It's like
collaborative production.
Yeah, collaborative production and. Finding out what people have room for and what production standards people have.
Okay.
And what's already produced.
Production. What standards?
Yeah, especially with collaborative production.
Now, you mentioned tools. Is that something that people want to talk about, what tools are available for sharing, or is that, understood? Is that a conversation?
I think it is a conversation because the mechanism on how we do this, I mean, it can be as, you know, as basic as mailing stuff in the mail or as sophisticated as going to a website. It seems like that would be a good discussion to have.
I mean, I guess I'm wondering about, when we talk about content sharing, are we talking about news, are we talking about public affairs, are we talking about music? What are we talking about? I think that looking at a category of content is a big issue because if we're talking about a Northwest Native radio network and we have this whole collection of stations that are in the Northwest that might be interested in, for instance, having 30 minutes a week that is a collaborative Northwest regional news show, that's pretty dynamic that a lot of people are going to want to contribute to. And, you know, that follows a very similar model of free speech radio news. And it makes a more coherent sense of bio region, which is really at the core of why I'm here, is to, and I'll just use the example I mentioned earlier, is that when Julia Sabatier was doing the story on the biscuit, she did not even understand, after doing it in depth, that the people who did the study at OSU, this is the biscuit fire in Southwest Oregon, that the people who did the fire, did the study, the computer generated study at OSU that looked at how much timber they could lift off of this post-fire area had been funded by, for instance, the Douglas County Board of Commissioners to the tune of $25,000. And she did not ask, although I did after many, many stories on this, okay, where did the timber go? And the timber went right back into Douglas County. So you see that, you begin to see why and how things are really happening. And that's the kind of thing, if we do collaborative stories and if we are all contributing to a regional news story, we're going to begin to understand what's really happening behind the scenes, and it's going to create a different level of understanding and activism and change of power dynamic, and that's where what I'm really interested in. So I use that as an example.
I'm just writing down
so what I'm hearing, and I could be not hearing this right, is that there's two different ways of sharing programming. One is that you all coordinate around a program that might go on weekly or daily or whatever. And another is that you have locally produced programs that other people may choose to air, right? I mean, those are two separate conversations, and I just want to distinguish.
And I might want to suggest that the more important conversation would be collaborative programming, just because the mechanisms are almost, we can discuss this, but it seems already in place to share already produced shows. It just it's just a matter of networking and finding people willing to air them.
Okay.
I just want to also point out that on the schedule, this is called the collaborative production proposal, and there is a content sharing proposal at 1:30, and I was told that that was going to cover more of the mechanics and tools.
I think that's going to talk about the audio for it, and Chris Weyers was there. And I think the challenge for the collaborative work is how to collaborate across distance and with different standards. I took a great workshop at an NFCB conference in Portland, and with four different people who have been part of a regional network, and how they talked about how they had struggled with collaborating across a network. And the big difficulties they faced were standards, that everybody had really different standards, editorial standards, and production standards, which I think are two separate things. Production standards are trainable, but it's hard. Most of us are small stations. It's hard to devote the staff time to bring people's production skills up. It takes a long time. Some people will never get there in certain aspects of it. And certainly at KBCS, we struggled with having lots of different volunteers and having everybody be able to rise to a certain production standard. The intensive one-on-one staff time that it would take to get someone to go from I'm a beginner at using a microphone and audio editing to I can produce a finished piece. It takes a lot of individual instruction report and just time for someone to really gain the skills. And I'm interested in free speech radio. I'm talking here from what you guys have experienced in free speech radio news is about skill building. But a suggestion that that I would have in terms of how we do that that might be useful for connecting us in a collaborative fashion would be internships or mentorships. I had a great experience going down to Portland for a different conference on Content Depot, which is this nightmarish proposal from a public radio satellite system. But I stopped by KABU and visited Robert Jefferson, who was there at the time as a news director, and I watched how they produced their evening news show. And about 400 light bulbs went off in my head at one time. It was an enlightening and painful experience, an exciting experience. And I realized how powerful it was just to see somebody else do it right. And I never did manage to get a contingent of folks from KBCS down to KABU to hang out for a day and spend the night and then go home and watch how they did their whole production process. But if I could have found the money to get some hotel rooms and maybe some money for gas and lunch, I think I could have gotten KBCS's news department going faster.
Well, how about if we do, and you could maybe begin the conversation, how about if we do a list of do's and don'ts in terms of how to produce high quality programming? Would that serve the purpose of you know, if we just sort of brainstorm out the do's and don'ts or no?
I could feel honest about that. I would walk out of here if we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I know how to do it. I mean, the point is to me is to collaborate. If we're going to talk about doing collaborative programming, let's talk about the various ways in which we want to collaborate or that we think we might want to collaborate, and then start thinking, you know, networking might be that effect.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
And here's a possibility. What about assessing the resources at skill level that we already have?
Right.
And maybe that would address how much this training piece needs to start and be integrated from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like an architect, the as-is.
Mm-hmm.
I was also going to say, it sounds a little bit like it would be finished content that you would be sharing, obviously, to start with. And then, you know,
well, that's,
a la carte.
That's one possibility. You know, there's a couple models. I think assessing is really good. Maybe talking a little bit about what you are dealing with at Radio Free Moscow and what Kay is dealing with at maybe assessing is a good place to start there, what you guys need. But another suggestion I would have would be that there are different ways to share content. Finished stories is one way, and there are some models that I can point to that I've seen work really well, at least at KBCS. One is the free speech radio news model. I don't know if you guys can speak more directly about how it works for you internally, but in terms of what KBCS gets out of belonging to free speech radio news, it's great. Another model I point to for content sharing is the Washington News Service, and there's also an Oregon News Service. I don't think there's a news service in Canada, but
there's an effort to try.
Is there
working on creating one there?
They have a very interesting model that I think could be emulated, and it isn't a finished piece model. It's sort of a finished piece model. That is, there's an actuality that they churn out every day, and then there's a script that wraps that actuality. And it's up to you to finish that off, to read the script live, and insert the actuality. That is a level takes a level of production far lower than producing a finished story, and is still really helpful.
I like that.
So that's a model for sharing content in a collaborative way. You can take that content as the seed of a story, and if you don't like the actuality, or if you like the actuality but you wish you had more, so there's only one voice. The news service is kind of a push news organization. To be clear about what it is, it's an association of nonprofits that get together to pool their money to make sure that their stories are getting heard. So they're generally sort of progressive, socially minded organizations, but they tend to, they're sort of press release journalism. And so they produce a bunch of the content in a very close to finished form, so that it's a lot easier for small radio stations like ours to use that content. It's not bad for what it is, as long as you understand what you're getting. It's also the seed of a simple finished story. You all need just one more phone call to the other side, if that's what you choose to do, or another couple phone calls, and you can have a finished piece quite easily. They also voice their finished pieces, but they're not necessarily They don't always do that with every one of their stories. It's free. You can sign up at newservice.org. I can send you. So I put my URL up here for the Northwest Community Radio Network folder on my station's website. I just put that up today. I'll give you my email address so I can send you these links. And most of these sources are also in the documentation that's found at this link on our website. I put basically the entire KBCS News Department documentation on in this folder, minus our passwords. But how you can contact folks to get some of this content. So there's the Washington News Service.
So I'm just trying to figure out what we're doing here. Do we want to spend the next few minutes talking about ways to share content? Is that where we are here? And then I heard to do an assessment, skills assessment of what's at the table.
Do we want to do assessment?
I think this is part of that. It is. Looking at what's out there available. Is there any way to piggyback that and put it under its own sort of file folder of, you know, this organization or this group of stations?
Am I clear about what your question is?
Well, if something already exists that's doing this and it's a free service, mm-hmm. can you piggyback onto that as these community broadcasters who are participating as part of this? Is that inappropriate?
The afternoon session is specifically about sharing content, right?
Okay.
So I think that
collaboration.
We should really try to focus on ways in which you can collaborate the creation of programming and mm-hmm. a skills assessment, because though this information is key, mm-hmm. it can go into the session this afternoon. So if you're not going to be at that session, please be sure the information can get there.
Oregon News Service. What I was suggesting was looking to these guys as maybe a model for how we might collaborate. There's also Workers Independent News Service. Mm-hmm. That costs money, but they'll give you a free 1 month membership. They produce very similar stuff. They produce a finished news report, and they also post the scripts and then the finished news report. So you can take the script and clip the actuality out and do it yourself. I'm wondering whether this might be a great way for us to share content, where I was at the rally in Olympia. You post an email to the listserv. I was at the rally. So as I look at the issue of sharing content, the two issues that seem to me paramount and that came up in this workshop that I was at NFCD about sharing content was communication, how you communicate across boundaries, how you communicate with one another so that you can collaborate, and then how you structure your content so that it's shareable. And I think, Ursula, you can probably talk a lot about the work that you've done with Sprouts is exactly the same kind of model, how you do collaborate. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you did, or Lee, you sound like you know what you have?
Well, yeah, I definitely like the Washington News Service model where you have actually having some scripts just because it's not labor intensive. Mm-hmm. We probably should just at least briefly discuss the Free Speech Radio News
yes.
model, because it is a finished production. Reporters are expected to at least produce all the elements of the production, if not edit it, string it all together, and have a final news piece that the anchor reads. One problem with Free Speech Radio News model is that everybody is paid. There's a national editor, there's a headlines editor, the reporters are actually paid, and Ursula, Adrian and I have been on the steering committee together, and a lot of what we talk about is money and finances. And so because of the level of production involved, I think, and the amount of time that it takes people to do these stories, it's somewhat unreasonable to expect them to do it without getting some sort of monetary compensation. And it's not a heck of a lot. Some people do make their living off it, but most people it's just in addition to whatever else they're doing.
Do you want to talk a little bit about how that works mechanically, or do you think there's something that might be useful that comes out of the FSRN model for like how do you do your conference calls?
The The steering committee does have conference calls every week. It seems like, as far as connecting with individual reporters and producers, I don't even know if there's an email list, but people are just told on the website how to pitch a story and what the production standards are, and the script standards, and that the stories are pitched to the appropriate editor. The editor, usually in a paragraph, the editor says yes or no, or maybe with some modifications, and the reporter, you know, gathers the sound and writes the script and submits it by deadline. The audio is actually sent usually by FTP, which is an internet protocol, which is pretty easy to set up on a computer. And we don't do too much of the overnight FedExing tapes anymore.
Except for Mark.
I want to just consider that, aside from the work that all the reporters do to do each story, there's one full-time and three part-time, leaning on full-time editors who work every day, five days a week. And then there's the engineers who also work. I'd say there's one full-time job, just engineering and making all the sound right before it goes out on the satellite. And that's, you know, it's very labor intensive. They're pretty high pressure jobs. It would be hard to have, I'd say, volunteers doing that level of, you know, get the daily news out, and it's got to be right, and it's got to be right on deadline. And
yeah, it's daily, Monday through Friday, half hour.
And there's just a ton of, all the coordination with reporters is done that way. They meet, the editorial team meets morning, every morning, plans. These are the stories for the day, and then they just work like crazy till deadline, and a lot of it is communicating and training.
Then you play a conference call at about 6 a.m. Pacific time, or something like that.
So I would think you probably don't want to duplicate that unless you see some paid salaries. And
right. This is something that came up in the NFCB conference. There was a fellow there from Alaska who had been in community radio stations there, and he said that for years Alaska had tried to do that, they tried to collaborate in this program. It needs paid staff to organize it and manage it. And it was very difficult for them to find the resources to do that. There's also a woman there from Colorado where they had received a grant. It was High Country News. It was around for about 3 years.
Right.
They got a grant to do this. They had a great sort of initial start. A lot of small stations around Colorado would contribute a news story here and there. But then the challenges of running a small station and getting a story in on a deadline became really insurmountable, and it wound up being mostly
interviews.
One mostly coming from one station. I was just blanking on
right.
A Boulder station, KGNU. Wound up being mostly content from KGNU because they had the largest news department. And then the whole process actually finally collapsed when the grant ended because they didn't have that person to organize the content. They wrote a new grant, and what they got out of that was a reporter in the state capitol who generated content that was of use to all the outlying community radio stations. And I think there's an interesting thing right there. I think a lot about Olympia. There's the Northwest Radio Network already exists, Tom Bonsi, and that's what the big NPR stations contribute to. And they pay a guy, Tom, and I think they might have one other person to do news. But they're basically paying a reporter to run around the state and do news for all the member stations. That's one type of collaborative process. You all collaborate by giving the money and you get content out. I don't think that's what we're talking about here, but I think it points to some of the challenges of doing it as all volunteers. I was thinking you might want to talk about how Sprouts has worked or not worked, or what you learned from that experience.
What is it, Sprouts?
Yeah, let me talk a little bit about that.
Sprouts is a collaborative radio show that's put out once a week by Pacifica Radio. It's a half-hour program, and it goes out on our satellite once a week and also is available in AudioPort. Actually, it's one of the public files in AudioPort, so any station can download it. It's not password-protected, so you're welcome to listen to it anytime you want. You go to AudioPort and do a search for Sprouts, you'll see a whole list of the shows. The show came about originally because Pacifica affiliates were helping Pacifica do national coverage when we first invaded Iraq.
to do the war coverage for that. And it was kind of our first project, really organized project to collaborate with affiliates, and it generated so much enthusiasm that the decision was to put to dedicate half an hour a week to, you know, on our satellite towards that, and to continue working. So it's been going on. When we invaded Iraq, I think it was in 2002.
April 2003.
Okay. So the show's 3 years old now, and it's been putting out a show once a week for 3 years. With only, I think we only missed the deadline once. So that's pretty good. We've been doing okay. So I guess, just to summarize real briefly, you know, what the experience has meant, and a few conclusions I've drawn from it. The show originally started out as a collaboratively organized and produced show among what was originally about 8 affiliate stations who felt they wanted to be responsible for the production of the show and be responsible for doing outreach to other radio stations to contribute content to the show. KGNU was one of the strong stations that did that. And the shows were formulated kind of on the free speech idea that each show would be a topic with contributions from different stations around the country. And the idea was the show was supposed to basically feature local stories in communities that kind of brought to national attention. That model worked for about a year. It was extremely labor intensive because it meant that every week we had to go through the process of getting content from stations and then having a station put it together into a half-hour show, and the stations that were responsible for the final production were rotating. So there was some confusion always about who was next and you know. Anyway, so they were able to keep that up for about a year and did some really great shows. I have to say some good work was done. And it was more, it was kind of oriented towards local news stories that seemed to be relevant on the national forefront. What I found with time was that the original people that did this moved on to other, you know, jobs, or they were at college stations and they left, or there's just an element of a transience. And I didn't experience them as passing on this kind of stewardship to other people, their stations, consciously enough so that the initial vision was kind of carried forward. And what I found was with time was that local jobs superseded, you know, a national collaboration, that it's a national collaboration, or, I mean, in our case it was national, in your case it was regional. But I suspect it might be not quite as much a problem, but still a problem, is that it's like out of sight, out of mind, because radio work is so labor intensive and that the local needs are so intense that it started to fall through the cracks more and more. So we went through a series of, you know, crises where I would have, you know, kind of a temper tantrum on, you know, on listserv or on the phone, and would generate concern and people would get back into it. And then, but after, you know, about 3 of these tantrums, I realized I had to, I'm the affiliates coordinator at Pacifica, so I kind of like fell on me to mediate all this. I realized that either I could like have the final temper tantrum, you know, that people would really listen to, or I could, you know, adjust and realize that a significant shift had happened. And so I chose to do that because I think there was still value to the show. So now what the show is I reformulated it as a showcase for stations to present the work. And what tends to happen now is that once a week, one station takes the show and does whatever they want with it. And very often, and the way that I've kind of dealt with the fact that this is not a paid show, I mean, people aren't paid to do this, is that I tell people, I go to stations and I say, you know, do you have production at your station that is already very good, that really warrants rebroadcasting on a national scale? Because Sprouse is a success story in a strange sort of way, which I didn't expect. The show gets aired, it gets a huge airing. When I look at our statistics, it can go up to 100 stations within, you know, 6 weeks or 8 weeks. Generally, in a week, I would say regular stations that take it, it's between 25 and 40 stations. So somehow it is being taken. So I can legitimately say to people, if you're having, you know, somebody's doing really good production at your station and you would like to have a national broadcast of it, I can supply that. So in a way, it has become an instant outlet to a national voice of sorts. So right now, that's what the show is. And that right now seems to be picking up. That seems to be a model that is working more and more. People want to showcase their work, and the more the show is out there, the more people want to do it. Do I think this is the final model? No. So I think one of the things that I'd like to say about this is that I think that when you do something like this, a collaboration, you have to see it as an animal which changes. You have to, you know, see it as a model that evolves based on whoever is involved at the time and what their needs are and what the, you know, temperature in the country is and all these things. And that's actually kind of fun once you get into it, you know, to just to kind of use it as a way to read and keep figuring out creatively what's going to work, you know. Because I think the basic idea of a collaboration is something that is real to people, no matter what form it's in, and I think it does have meaning. So it's kind of an adjustment thing. The communication systems that we use, we do have a listserv. It's not heavily used. It's not a discussion group. Very often, it just is posting announcements of the show, but once in a while, it is... It used to be, you know, an organizing tool when people actually were organizing. Now it's, you know, mostly me posting things and the announcements. But it is always there, and once in a while it flares up when people really want to talk to each other, which I think is a good thing. It's not a spam email. We also used to have monthly conference calls, which Pacifica paid for. I don't think it's necessary right now, so I'm not doing it, but it could happen again. We also used to do something that was really great, and I would recommend again. It's a little bit of a work, but once in a while when somebody wanted their show critiqued, we would have conference call critiques. And when we did it, it was fabulous. I mean, I learned tremendous because there's some great producers out there, and new producers who want to get help. It's a great way to do it. So that's something that is always there as a possibility. Of course, we use AudioPort to share the content and to distribute, and that made a huge difference once we had a place to share content. We also, when we look to get people to contribute to the show, we still use outside listservs like the GRC, NFCB, other listservs where, you know, people could be that might want to have a show. To put on Sprouts. And finally, I do think that you need some sort of coordination. I think one of the reasons Sprouts has survived is because I'm paid by Pacifica to do work with affiliates, and I've chosen for my own reasons to make this part of my job. It happens to be a great outreach tool for Pacifica, so I think it's worth it to us. But you do need somebody who's the buck has to stop with someone so that you meet the production deadlines and the schedule is kept. And what has evolved is that there's a few people who, for reasons of their own, have personally felt had their commitment to the show and are in the background to help me come up with, ideas and suggestions, and also our production. You have to have a few people in the wings when you have somebody who can't make the production deadline or can't rise up to standards, that you have to have a few people in the wings who can work with that person. They don't have to be in the same place, but they have to be there to repair damage and to instruct somebody who needs help, so that you're constantly bringing in new people. It's very important to have the capability to train people so that you can always bring in people who are not up to speed but who have something to offer. So those are the things, I think, some of the main things I've learned from Sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the last thing I did learn, which is kind of a surprise to me, is that, you know, consistency is everything. I'm astonished that so many people take Sprouts, and I think one of the reasons, because it's not a consistent show, Bruce can tell you, the show doesn't have any consistency because, in terms of production, because every week it's a different person, you know? So the topics are anywhere from, you know, political satire to poetry to news, you know, it's like, whoa. But the fact that it comes out every week, that the production is basically, you know, up to snuff,
yeah.
and that it's there,
yeah.
is everything. So I'm just saying, you know, come up with a way that you can make sure you can just get it out.
Uh-huh. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. We did KBCS aired Sprouts on and off, and we would often look to Sprouts for specials. You guys had great specials, and you continue to air those. I did the show once. I produced it at KBCS, and then I could never, beyond that, I could never really contribute because I was so overwhelmed just trying to get my new show on every week. Then it was done. To post what the content of our show was to the website takes me about 2 hours. To then share that, you know, I have to code the page, including the anchor slug from every story of what we aired that day, that week for that show, and then the link to the MP3 for each individual story. It took so much work just to get our web archive up to date.
Exactly.
The idea of then going and spending more time to try to communicate that all to a group so that you could all use it. It was just, I didn't have the time in my day to do that. And I think these are all really instructive lessons. So,
can I just say one more thing real quick? The way it actually happens in reality is that there's a one-page production checklist. It's very simple. It's basically there's an intro script, there's intro music that's available on AudioCourt, there's a mid-tro statement, you know, at the 15-minute mark, and there's an outro script, and all of that takes up about a minute of time. And then basically, so what we do when somebody says they want to do a Sprouts show, I just send them the production notes. It's very short, you know, basically tells you the technical requirements and the scripts that you should use. So everybody says the same thing at the beginning and the end and uses the same music. And then we say, whatever you want to do in between, that's up to you. And, you know, we don't edit it and we don't, you know, review it in any way. I usually listen to it before it goes on the satellite just to make sure that that it actually, you know, physically can go on the air. But other than that, you know, consistent with Pacifica's mission, we don't ask people what they're going to say or anything like that. It's basically, if you do the intro and the outro and the mid-tro, the rest, just do whatever you want. And that seems to work pretty well. And then we ask people to we give them a model for a release so that, you know, they've described the show on paper so I can release that. And that's how it works.
What's your email?
My email?
The email for sure.
Just UrsulaPacifica.org, URSULA, Pacifica.org. So it's basically what it is. It's just a stage that anybody can walk on.
I was wondering maybe if we could spend a little time getting input from various people here about what, you know, now that we've sort of discussed some of the limits and to what can be produced collaboratively and what some of the challenges are, what some people think the type of programming that we could produce, you know, and in what frequency, daily, weekly, whatever, and what type of programming that stations would be interested in and volunteers would be interested in producing. You know, a lot of talk seems to be centered around news. I think this conference is very newsy oriented, but this possibility of music. I know in Boise they produce a weekly variety show now, very homegrown and so forth. So there are other options out there, and maybe just sort of go around and see what ideas people have that might work for their station or for their cluster of volunteers.
I just want to try a different idea. Instead of trying to produce, if there's particular things that went in the values discussion, we said we wanted to do outreach to diverse communities, which maybe should be inclusion of diverse communities. But you're sitting in a community and you say, well, we can't do Afghani news. We don't know any Afghans. You know, that there might be disability is one where there's very few productions of disability. That maybe instead of trying to look at what we need, try to look at the unmet needs of these communities, and could we collaborate to fit some of those needs?
Would a news format work for that?
Possibly. I mean, any format would work, really.
We had an interesting experience with this. It's a program we've been producing internally for about 4 years called The Old Country. And the idea behind it was to bring in people from diverse communities who didn't want to go through a full-blown training to do a regular radio program, but had an interesting record collection or interesting musical experiences from their, you know, from their specific communities. And it's worked pretty well. We've done music from the Afghan community and from the Eritrean community here in Seattle, and Somalis and Cambodians and other, you know, where they bring in music, and it's wonderful. We give them this template with which to work, and they write their own scripts and stuff. So that's an entertainment kind of non-news thing. But it's interesting. I mean, this is where we as white folks sort of run into this cultural hurdle that, why should these people be coming to our station and giving us their culture for free? I mean, they don't, I've had that conversation a few times, and it's interesting. To get them to do one show is one thing, to get them to contribute on a regular basis is something we've slowly built. I mean, we now have South Asian people on the air, and we have Latinos on the air, and other things, but it's not a natural thing. Oh yeah, I want to go volunteer at that white community radio station. But this is one example of something that we did that's worked pretty well, that I'm sure everybody who's in some kind of community, probably would work in Moscow or wherever, where there are underserved communities that have interesting things to say and cultural stuff to share.
Can you imagine it working on a Northwest Collaborative basis, or is this just an idea you're throwing out to different stations to try?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, again, the reason we've been able to do this is because we've received a small grant each year to pay the producer to do the legwork on this stuff. And it's a big commitment. It's a weekly show, but we now have, 150 of these shows that we've done that we can, it's not necessary to do a new show each week, but it's just an example of how to do that kind of outreach into a community that wouldn't necessarily be knocking on our door.
excuse me, another question. Idea that kind of something Amy said, trying to think about is, would there be a need for, I don't know what to call it, maybe a reporter network where, like, maybe you're going to produce your own news show, but it was on some issue that was Northwest-wide, and you need to ask questions in different cities?
Yeah. Oh, I see. Somebody to go out with a microphone.
Could you farm that kind of work out? And would that be useful to have that kind of network?
That would be useful, actually. For a local news department, and probably maybe for a Northwest Collaboration, you could do a lot of stuff over the phone. I know on Free Speech Radio News, they'd like to have on-mic recordings, at least for part of a feature news story, as opposed to over the phone. So that would be useful for a producer who's, getting paid to do an FSRN story, to throw somebody a few dollars to go and do the interview themselves in person, so they have that fresh audio. I don't know, as far as the Northwest, maybe we can, maybe the recorder can just work over the phone.
And that would be, it really articulates exactly one of the needs that I have, which is that different reporters have, in different areas, are going to have local history, and they're going to have a body of knowledge that somebody else somewhere else may not have. But by, increasing that contact and increasing that collaboration, you could put out questions to a listserv of reporters saying, I'm working on this, what do you know about it, who do you know, how can we deepen the story, how can we make it so that we're actually getting to the heart and soul of the story without having to spend, like I did for this, the story aspect, like I'm here looking at all the different aspects of it, doing various stories until finally I put the whole thing together. And not very many people even have the whole picture yet, because I'm just in Cable and I'm just in Eugene, and I'd like more people to understand it, because once they understand what's happening in the woods in Oregon, maybe they're going to see a parallel of what's happening in the woods in Washington or someplace else, as an example. So that to me, a reporter's network would be really interesting.
I think, too, maybe in terms of follow-up, you know, you talk to somebody or you interview somebody, you learn something new, and maybe if you're local, maybe it's easier to kind of run with that.
Right.
Grab other things. But then how do you get people excited about doing something else to show?
Does anybody have imagined any other formats for collaboration in the Northwest?
So some things that I kind of heard in all this discussion that really stuck out to me, struck me, I guess, as key. One thing that seems like that would work in terms of a collaborative show is having a predefined structure. That's something that Ursula talked about, and I know that's worked with the Old Country, and I know that works with FSRN. You have a structure for the show. So there's a show. If you want to do a collaborative show, we come up with a structure that we all agree upon. And then there are lengths, there are intros and outros, there's music, there's targets for what you might produce. There's a commentary section, there's a music and culture section, there's a short news section, there's a feature section, there's different types of things that you can put into the
humor.
Show.
Don't forget humor.
Humor, right. So, that list here. Comedy, humor. So, that's one model for a collaborative process. And I have to say, what finally worked for KPBS in producing a volunteer-run news show was...
There's the humor.
Who's not doing this yet? What finally worked for us was coming up with a structure, and honestly, we just borrowed what Kalu had done in terms of the production process, and then we came up with our own structure of what we wanted our show to sound like. And now I had a template for people to plug into that was really successful. And then simple tasks that people could perform at various skill levels, from writing a simple news story, and that's why that idea of the Washington News Service story I think is so helpful, is that a lot of people who are very new to producing news can certainly write, and all they need is one actuality, and their story has an actuality in it, and if it's just a reader, if it's just a 1-minute script, 750 words, or 150 words, 170 words, about that's something. And if you can contribute just a reader of what happened in Pullman this year or what happened in Moscow this afternoon, that is content that can be shared with another station. So that structure idea, I think, to me is emerging as a very important point.
One thing I'd like to comment on here, the way I structure one of my shows every week is it's got anywhere from 3 to 7 interviews, and I just intersperse it with a little segue music, and it's got intro and outro, and there it goes. And I provide the full 30 minutes on my website for anyone to download, but I also provide each of the interviews separately, and Kalu uses them as they want. And that can all be just downloaded off of a website, so that, again, if you are providing your format and a 30-minute format or whatever as a collaborative news thing, but let's say a station only has room for one or two of the stories, why couldn't they just pull some of those if they wanted those as well? So not to limit it that you have to pick up the whole 30 minutes, but that you could be blending this in to your already existing news or community affairs or whatever you want throughout the week, and pulling out the stories once somebody's reviewed it that are relevant to that particular station.
Yeah,
I think that's probably a good way to say it.
Yeah, and I like that idea. I guess the one problem people will bring up is that some things produced for one station, say with references to place or local things that the local audience would understand, the script needs to be adjusted for a more regional audience. Mm-hmm. For example, the biscuit is in southwestern Oregon, things like that.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, emphasizes the need for a coordinator. And I guess I sort of want to maybe go to the issue of if we are going to, all these examples of produced shows, as opposed things that are produced have a paid coordinator. Ursula's paid, Free Speech Radio News Editor's paid. And I'm wondering, I don't know about the Reclaim the Media, whether it's a registered nonprofit, but maybe the idea of them applying for a grant so somebody who coordinates this can actually at least get a part-time salary, to communicate with the recorders, take the time to work the phones or email and find these stories or find the a la carte pieces that are already posted on the web, whatever,
There is. I mean, but Karen, it's Karen Torrey, but her role has been organizing this this weekend. But she received a modest amount of the grant that we got from Threshold to do this. So we'd have to repurpose her job to make that.
So there's leftover money from that, or
I don't know. There's leftover money. Jonathan can speak.
Revenues.
Talk Radio in Vancouver has a weekly show that they produce. But they produce every week. It's like 3 hours. It's quite an ambitious undertaking. And they...
I think that we didn't all catch who's the they you're talking about.
Oh, it's the Co-op Radio in Vancouver.
Red Eye.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
called the Red Eyes. Yeah. It's 3 hours every week. And they use this collective approach to put it all together. Because obviously a 3 hour weekly public affairs shows is a lot of work in which all the people involved in the program rotate through the different roles within the program. So, someone might host for a month or one or two people will be the host for the month and their job is primarily to host, and other people involved will be doing different productions, and somebody is going to be responsible for loading it all up onto the website.
Mm-hmm.
And if they sort of rotate through. And that way, there's a couple of things that they say really works for. One is everybody involved in the show sort of gets the exposure to all the different aspects, so when someone leaves, they don't sort of lose the brain trust and have it all sort of come apart. It also, over time, distributes the burdens of doing it. So, and I wonder if some similar model might be able to be extrapolated to this kind of collaboration where,
mm-hmm.
It could be individuals or a station might be the coordinator for 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
And do specific roles, and other people would do other things, and then it would shift to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Are you from Vancouver?
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. I think the challenges, I know from being at KBCS, the challenges were we didn't have enough volunteers at a certain point to play that role. But the structure of rotating is really good at KBCS with our show, The One World Report.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we did. We gave everybody a chance. They have 1 month, they can be a host, and then the next month they're a reporter or producers, that we give them time to develop the skills, and then some people aren't ready to do that, but they're sort of graduated skill levels that they go through. And I wonder, in terms of collaboratively across different stations, that's where I think about this idea of internships and mentorships and trainings. I know a long time ago, Adrian and I talked about FSRN being willing to come up here and do a workshop to train people how to do radio, and maybe Lee would be interested. I know that...
We're doing a how to produce an FSRN story
right here. Yeah. So there you go. Perhaps we can find some funding source, or we can find some commitment from different stations. I'd be happy at KSDR to host someone to come up and stay and spend a whole day and watch our new show, and spend the night at my house and cook and take them back to the airport or the train station wherever they go, or the bus station. And I imagine if we kind of can talk to other stations, people would be willing to do that for one or two folks.
You're from where?
From KSDR.
Where is that?
And up in Everett.
May I make a suggestion? First of all, I don't understand. Are we close to noon?
Yeah.
So Do we want to try to summarize what we want to bring to the session tomorrow in terms of suggestions of what can be done?
Mm-hmm.
And there was also on the table was doing a assessment of skills. So maybe we just can do a round and see what emerges in terms of what people would actually like to suggest as collaboratives and what skills that you're aware of can be thrown into the pot.
I think you're right. I think we really don't do enough of this. And a few things, the time that Exxon has done it have really been successful. Training takes a long time, but that face-to-face where you meet someone and make a connection with them and you learn something, it's just really important. I've read the proposal for the framework. The only one that's written right now for this proposed network, and it does include an idea to have like a half-time person at least for a while. The funding, I don't think, has been found for that, and that person would probably have other jobs to do.
Mm-hmm.
But just for that information,
I think that's the key. What I've heard is the structure, the idea of coming up with a structure that might work for folks, and I think. You mentioned that even if we have a show structure, let's say we work on a collaborative show, would be one possible goal. We have a structure that we kind of come to an agreement about, and then places for people to plug in on that. Then people can take the content that is produced for that show and use it a la carte in whatever show they would like to use. That's one idea that I've heard that makes sense, that seems useful. And then the other one was that I'm hearing that there really ought to be a coordinator. There really has to be somebody. And I'm wondering if that's the kind of thing that member stations to the Northwest Community Radio Network all pony up. What? What is it? $100 a month? $25 a month? I don't know what I could afford at KSPR. Probably $200 or $300. I just barely can afford to hire a part-time person to manage my computers for $12 an hour, 2 hours a week. But maybe with enough station participation and on a sliding scale budget, we could afford to pay a coordinator. Would that be interesting to KBCS, or would you think you could do that at Radio Free Moscow?
Yeah, we're very limited on our finances right now, and fundraising is behind.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest it's easier to get grants for startup projects than continuing, so maybe it could be started at least to pay that person out of a grant. And then as the grant runs out, work towards transitioning now that you have a product that that stations might be willing to pay for ponying up and contributing to. That would work. I think the other counter proposal is, okay, if nobody's going to be paid to coordinate, then it would have to work more from the Washington News Service model, where it's mainly actualities and scripts, which might be a good thing to do. I mean, there's a lot of volunteer reporters working in newscasts that might have the 10 minutes to just repurpose their script and send it to whatever center it is and, you know, leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
So that I would call that sort of not a counter proposal, but an alternate proposal.
Mm-hmm. So sort of along the WIS.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Ursula and Rip are going to talk about the audio board. But we've been using the audio board at KBCS. We've been using it for all of our content for our show. And the big challenge I found when I was producing a new show for the station was actually to figure out what was out there. There's so much. If you go to Radio for All, there's a lot of stories. There's no possible way you have the time in a day or a week to figure out what's there that you can use. It's too overwhelming. So having a listserv where there can be some sort of promotion and communication, having a coordinator to kind of sort through some of that. It's easier to do on a station level where I know the producers and I can say, oh, this person has produced a story, that sounds really useful. This person produced a story, I know that she really can't do that, or he talks too long, or I don't know if this is really good. You know, you have to, as an editor of the show, you have to be able to evaluate the content, and that's the hardest thing. But if it's in a script form, it's really easy to evaluate. And that's what's wonderful about the audio board is that you're able to post the audio. You're also able to post sort of a slug, that's the anchor lead, which tells you really what the content is, the story is about. And then you can actually post the script, which is, to me, absolutely invaluable as a producer of a show, to be able to look at the script. I can inspect the quality of the show very quickly and decide if that's what I want or not. Or even not the quality, but even the editorial focus of the content of the story. So that seems really useful to me in the audio world as a tool for that.
I think the other aspect, too, is that if as independent producers were going to be submitting content to the various stations, whether through a one show, once a week type of format, or just overall, we really need to hear from stations as to what your criteria are, how you want it submitted, what's going to make sense to you, what you need. So, I think that was came a long time ago, but I'd like to expand my content further, but I don't really know how to approach it, other than handing my card and saying, go listen to my website. So hearing what your criteria is going to be, how many minutes, the way you do when you submit to FSRN, how long the story is going to be, whether you want actualities, whatever it is, that's important too.
I also think it's very important to get outside of your radio mentality to some extent and think in terms of what's on iTunes, what's being podcast. What are these podcasts about? What is the content that's being used in there? Is all of it just garbage, or is some of it amazing that you could maybe have your radio station has its oddcast or its podcast or something that feeds them to the website? Because ultimately, everything's going to head to the website, and your radio station signal itself, primary signal, will have HD, you're going to have three signals. So everyone's going to need content. And so in trying to think about, certainly you can have a news focus, which is necessary, a community service focus is necessary, but you're also going to need a lot of looking at reinventing the way what we think a broadcast is. I think it's happening outside of radio. That's one of the competitors. People are starting to come up with their own, Waiting for Your Cat to Bark. I don't know if you're familiar with that book, but it's a good book to read. People's behavior, in other words, is not the same as it used to be. You used to ring a bell and the dog would salivate and come and do everything that you wanted because people behave like dogs. But now people are behaving more like cats. They order a coffee today that's a cappuccino. The next day they order a coffee that's a mocha. The next day they don't order a coffee. They order a coffee. We're having a
conversation. Well, some things don't change. And I came to your collaborative thing here thinking there was going to be a format here to discuss how we can advance some agendas that we all agree upon. And, my name is Robert Friedel. I'm trying to start a radio station down in Auburn. And mostly because we've tossed stories to all the main media and alternative people to share some views, and we've never gotten responses back the last couple of years. So we're wondering if there's some internalized racism and, I'm sorry to use the words here, but nobody wants to talk about it, but the end product is that some voices are heard and some others aren't. And there's a big grab for the mic by all people with every kind of venue. I understand that. But some social agenda, and who's setting the social agenda of editors? What is your position on that?
I'm just a general manager.
All those roles that are in media carries with it some baggage. And in it, it excludes, the experience has been that some people or some viewpoints are excluded. Anyway, so we're trying to start a radio station, so we're right at the bottom and trying to hook up with, should we go to iPod and web streaming and all this kind of stuff, and how do you market yourself to the other pods that get you to some traffic into your place. But anyways, it all boils down to, though, because somehow we don't have connection. It's kind of rolls in itself. Media, everybody gets to know each other. Your technology people get to just meet them, and it becomes an isolated, insular arena. So we're trying to bring some stuff with the people, get some voice.
Well, when Wi-Fi comes, anybody can listen to me.
Well, Just to put it out there, I think all of our community radio stations take people as volunteers, and something that we talked about a little bit, and I'm not sure if you were here for the discussion, was the idea of internships and mentorships. That's how I learned how to do a lot of the news that I did at KBCS, was going down to cable in Portland and watching what they do.
Well, not so much the mechanical stuff, or tech stuff to do. I was thinking more of the agreed-upon strategies. You divide a pie to handle some subject material that will all agree to air or something. You're too in the wrong spot.
Well, no, I think we need
right
on. I want to value what you're saying.
Yeah.
My understanding is that many of the community stations have a value system that is inclusive and that is progressive, and that is the nature of this conference is to create a Northwest Radio Network that has that. So, but that there's many radio stations that are like are on the reses or that are like the Coon, which has started at Lowpower FM. In migrant labor union in Woodward, Oregon. Everybody's being supportive of everybody's different voices. I think one thing we probably didn't touch on at all is how do we gather stories or voices or from all these different stations so that media justice, is balanced or included in whatever we're doing. And I'm really grateful that you've spoken up because it reminds us that you know, is inherent in what we're attempting to do. It's a major piece of what we're trying to do. It must be one of the core of what we're doing.
And if you could be a point of contact for the agenda items you're interested in, I think you'll find there's a lot of people that would be willing to help get you some air.
So KACR is working with the Tulalip.
Great show, and it's well listened to.
We are Northwest.
She's telling me what you're doing.
Well, gotta get the word out.
I think the challenge is that it sounds like you don't know how, you haven't had any luck getting people to take your content. You haven't found the right people.
I went to meet the regular media, and I sent them.
Probably not the place to start.
Well, I wanted to document it.
I
mean, I had a lawsuit on UW and trying to institute racism.
Lee's got a question.
There's 11
in
here. 12.
Under a coordinator, just to follow up on this, is you know that whoever's arranging this, you know, has to be in charge of making sure that all stations or all voices are contacted producers, and make sure the diversity is there, and reach out to groups that are normally unheard. So I think that's an important point.
It's also just as a point of information, there's a native news service, and they are excellent. Have you ever been doing that at all?
I broadcasted out of Palau.
So, in conscious of the need to kind of wrap up, the thing that I think we haven't talked about is the listserv stuff. I think Ursula is going to talk about later on the role that audio ports can play in sharing content.
I wanted to make one suggestion for your list, and maybe it goes under coordinator.
Okay.
I think research is a real important thing, so that as you begin to formulate the collaboration you do, I think it would be very useful to do a survey of all of the stations in the network to find out what exactly they would air, what they want, and not only will it help to formulate the mission of whatever collaboration there is, but ultimately there will be a mission, whether it's informal or formal. And it also is a great way to generate, it's also an automatic outreach.
Right.
Automatic, you know, you begin automatically to market to the stations what you're doing.
And conversely, can you say to them, and what other content would you be interested in contributing?
Exactly.
So
maybe we can go around the room in two sentences. Say whether our station might be able to.
Before we do that, I want to put out the idea that we need a listserv to facilitate our further communication. If there is one, does anybody know what it is? And if there isn't,
isn't that the one that Jonathan and everybody's been communicating
about?
I believe that there is one.
Okay.
Well, there's that RTM Reclaim the Media, and I think there's no, I don't know.
I think there's an NWCRN one.
Yeah, there
well,
is as well, yeah.
Are we all
NW,
on that?
NW Radio
list.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So that's what I wanted to know.
NW
Radio.
Which I might want to make a subset for specifically for people who
that's what I was going to suggest is that we come up with a protocol just so that we can, if a listserv just gets bombarded by messages with individual subject lines, it's too confusing. Yeah. But if we could agree to come up with maybe just a simple protocol for what? Northwest News Collaboration or Northwest
Collaboration?
Collaboration. Collaboration.
I want to keep it really short so that people don't have to
type in CGP.
So NW Collab.
I like that.
Wanting to have our own, I can see wanting to have a separate listserv for this just because I see the NW Radio as being a general listserv for all organizational communications related to the network.
Okay.
And it might be too much information all similar sort to have all of the content collaboration on the listserv.
I think I agree with you. And it's very easy to set up a listserv, right? I'm sure that will let us do one. So I'm going to suggest for now that we subject head our communication on this at NW Collab. It's short and
it sounds good.
And it sounds what we're talking about. And then when we create a separate listserv for this collaborative project, we'll maybe keep this name, NW Collab. We'll come up with another name that we agree upon. So this is a way to facilitate further communication.
So let me ask, are we going to sign a list down and pass this to somebody as it's all onto it? Or are we going to go to somebody, if somebody taking responsibility to set this up, and then we go there and we set ourselves up?
Great question. I don't know. Does anybody have any responsibility on that?
Well, if everybody's on the NW Radio
right
list, then that could sort of be used to take the next steps in terms of, like, if everybody in the room here is on that, some announcements could be sent out on that saying this new list is being set up and instructions.
Because we can, you can set them up as sign up
and you can
self select.
Yeah.
So why don't we do that?
And then I can agree to post on this list. So.
I can agree to post a message to the listserv about the formation of the new list, and it will be self signing and self.
And then you are also going to set up a new list so that we have things that we'd like to know.
Yeah, I'll just set up a new list, but there'll be no recipients until you sign up on it. Then I'll send an email out to the existing listserv with this subject head.
So my question is, in the 2 minutes there is left, is it better to use it as to share what people need and what people have to offer that are sitting at the table now, or is it better to use it to what exactly can this group best facilitate a collaborative in terms of the conversation that's going to happen tomorrow with the whole body? What do you need to take to the session tomorrow in terms of announcements, questions, recommendations? What's needed? Maybe nothing.
I think we need a little writing subcommittee to write up your notes and make them so that there's, you know, sort of level simple. This is our simple thing, and if there's time, here's more of the details.
I think that'd be great because I'm struggling to keep all the conversation that we had in here and try to include all these ideas and organize it as we go. But I want to get what we've talked about down on paper and organize it.
So you could be. Does anyone want to help you do that?
That would be great. Anybody wants to help me do that? You want to? Great. So we can kind of put all these notes together and we can do that in the break right around lunch now.
How about a quick spin around the table in terms of what people would like? People know about what you want or what you offer.
Okay. Want to start?
I want inclusion and part of the commitment to inclusion.
Having a low power FM that's willing to be flexible with the schedule. There was a collaborative show. We put it on in a prime spot, and we'd make room even if it was an hour, but probably be something smaller, I think. And as far as what we have to offer, I'm the news director besides being station manager, and I write stories every day for our daily newscast. And we have another volunteer who's there almost every day. We have a couple interns that are around. And even if it only takes 10 minutes to contribute as volunteers to a Northwest collaborative project, then they'd probably do it no problem. As far as bigger stuff, we'd have to talk to them.
Okay. When you say 10 minutes, you're talking about rewriting a story?
Yeah.
Fits the region as opposed
to script and actuality. Okay.
My station would be really interested in mentoring, you know, being a place people could visit and do work. And that's one of the things I was most excited about, the idea of this network, is allowing, or, you know, is that possibility as far as sharing the resources we've already come up with and also learning what other people use that works for them.
I'm trying to catch this, so it would be easier. Can you say your name and the
position?
KBCS. KBCS. KBCS.fm. I've got the attendees here. And what folks are at. Lee, what is the URL? It's radiofreemoscow.
.com. Or KRFP.org. It's easier to write.
What is it?
KRFP.org. Also works.
That's for proposal.
Okay. Oh,
so these great calls. Those are great calls.
Okay.
I'm not really, I'm kind of an outsider here, but as coming from Pacific, I just have to offer our wholehearted support for this effort. We're really excited to see what you come up with. And of course, we have the audio report, which you can offer, in which we would work to make a better tool for facilitating this if it seemed like the right place, the right infrastructure to use. But other than that, I'm just really excited to hear what you come up with.
And I think audio reports are great infrastructure, and you have the by type section, the types of programs, and maybe a Northwest type.
Yeah, we would definitely build it, you know, begin rebuilding so that it would be more useful.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'd like to see is just making sure as the idea moves forward that this could include it from both sides of the international board, so it's relevant to both sides.
Yeah, that's great.
BC listening to the operation, but
yeah, I mean,
do you view yourself as Northwest?
Okay, we do. I mean, obviously, we're not. You know, strictly speaking, it's not the northwest of the continent, but
right.
You know, I think we, you know, understand and accept that definition in a larger sense. Yeah.
The Cascadia.
Yes.
We're now spilling into our lunch hour, so maybe we can keep going
along. The URL maybe for your station and
CJSF.ca.
CJSF.
SF.
.cn.
CA. And then there's also ncra.ca.
We are as it happens right now.
So, I'm Adrian from FSRN. And I think that FSRN, I would pitch to the steering committee that we make a Northwest focus for sort of a little tour where we could come around and be at different stations for a day or a day and a half. I feel like I dropped the ball with you, Bruce.
Okay.
But, you know, I just think it would be really useful. So if we had a partner to work with that could help us set this up and set up the housing and make it all really, you know, logistically work.
Yeah.
I'd pitch it.
Right.
Oh, that's for the purpose of mentoring?
Yeah, that would be for a mentoring training thing.
For Free Radio Olympia, I think that training and mentoring would be very useful. And there's been talk for a long time about wanting to create a local and regional news program in Olympia. And we've talked about doing it as Free Radio Olympia, and we've talked about doing it as an independent reporters network that is distributed through Olympia Indy Media and then could be picked up by other stations. So there's definitely a lot of interest around late regionalism news. As far as what we can offer, all I know is that we can offer some people who have some energy and excitement around this. We have some people who have produced not so much news pieces, but like field reporting pieces, going out into the field and recording events and having voiceover commentary and announcements about what's going on, and also interviews.
So we've done some good interviews.
What's your URL for the organization?
FROlympia.org.
FROlympia. Okay. Do you guys have a Google website that we can put down before you take off?
But right now we're just Travel Connection.
And then I'm going to give you my card too. And just so that you
I'm going to go to lunch. Yeah, I'll see you over
there. Okay. There you go. TravelConnections.org.
Well, it's not that the right. Just the organization is Travel Connections.
Okay. We'll just come.
Yeah. It'll be TravelConnections.us.
Can we move around really quickly so that everybody gets a chance to sit out with them in your office?
Yeah, I'm a newbie from KBCS. I think I'll pass.
Okay.
I'm a newbie from KBCR, so.
Okay.
Bruce.
This is what you talk with.
Yeah, and I'm interested in offering content and coordination. I could see that I could be both a coordinator and a manager.
Do you think anybody at KWPA might be interested in
I don't know. They're really in huge transition. I didn't have to talk to you about it.
Do you have your own URL?
I have it. Yeah, Inform Productions. I am FORMPRODUCTIONS.com.
And what about the station that you
volunteer at? KWV, like Victor A, Radio.
KWVA,
radio.org.
Thank you all. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.